Well, it's Saturday, and here we are with another broadcast on the Late Night with Deanne Burley Show, and I'm your host, Deanne Burley, and welcome to my program. Also, you can find me Monday through Friday on Truth Radio from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And, folks, again, if you want to contact me, call me direct at 630-812-0171, 630-812-0171, or you can email me at dane.burley@yahoo.com or gmail.com. Hi, and welcome to this show. And tonight, there's a whole lot of stuff going on out here. Chicago, we just got word that Mayor Richard Daley has basically put together a good package for the Olympic Board. So the Olympics will be held in Chicago. I think it's 2012 they're talking about, 2016. And Chicago's going to be making way. There's going to be a lot of things changing here in Chicago. A lot of things, maybe positive, maybe negative, and we'll talk later in the broadcast about that. And then I want to mention really quick here about the issue that had hit the press in regards to the statement that was made by Innes in regards to a slur towards African-Americans. And I will be talking about that towards the end, and I would like your opinion on that subject. So we're going to be talking about that towards the end of the broadcast. And remember, I'm on from 10 to 1 a.m. in the morning. Also, folks, we're getting along pretty well here with the POWMIA march we're going to have in Chicago. We want a million people, and we need a million signatures to sign our petition to investigate and try to locate men that were in previous wars. They're still being held as prisoners of war overseas. We need your signature on this petition. And by the way, if you go to deanneburley.am, it's www.deanneburley.am. If you go there, you'll see the site for this march, which is has to do with Operation POW, and we're trying to get the government to recognize that there are missing men, they're still alive overseas, and we want them home. And these people go back as far as World War II, and there's been sightings, and we need your support and help in this to make this march in, that we're going to have on September 21st and 22nd in Chicago one of the nation's biggest and most effective. So if you get to that website, it's deanneburley.i.am. If you go there, sign the petition, because we need as many signatures as we can, because we're going to do something different. We're going to make the government do what it's supposed to do, work for the people. So we're going to this break, and we'll be back. I'm going to bring my co-host up, John Alastathis, and we're going to also talk to my guest tonight, who is John Peeler, formerly with the BATF and FBI and CIA. We'll be back when we return here.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Michelle, I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
And it's Deanne. I'm late night with Deanne on rbnlive.com. Folks, you can join me Monday through Friday on Truth Radio from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Both broadcasts are live, and we have some very exciting programs and guests, so tune in to both. What I'm doing tonight, I'm kind of rehashing something I did last week on Truth Radio because it was brought to my attention, something that seemed kind of odd, and I just wanted to bring it out and see what you, the audience, thinks. What happened this week, this last couple of weeks, happened in New York. There was a man that worked with the FBI, and he was shot dead by friendly fire, allegedly by other federal officers who were in pursuit of a bank robber. Bank robbery suspects. It was three of them. Anyway, it was kind of odd because usually they wear, you know, some type of bulletproof vest or something, but in this particular case, it seems that this guy may not have had it, or they must have used assassin bullets. I can't imagine from 15 feet away, they did not recognize one of their own, but he ended up dead in the street. Anyway, this gentleman's name was Barry L. Bush, and he was a 20-year veteran of the FBI, and he worked in a special unit. In addition to this story, I kind of like did a brief kind of on-the-top background on him, and it seems like he was doing some work originally back in the 80s in Arkansas. And I'm not sure how much information he may have had in between those years of these things such as Waco and Oklahoma City and et cetera, et cetera. But his death just seemed a little bit odd, you know, from this friendly fire. And this has not been the only case of friendly fire. We had the case down in Waco. where there were three federal agents. They were in a room, and they threw in, tear gas. It was smoke-covered room, and agents shot in the air and killed three agents under alleged friendly fire. But again, you know, these guys were involved with various things and may have seen a little bit too much. You know, who knows? But, you know, that was another pure case of friendly fire. Now, when I started looking into this stuff, I started talking to some people, and I have to look into Oklahoma City again, trying to figure out exactly what was going on with that building and everything. And I started looking into this history of bank robbery. You know, like, for instance, the gentleman was dealing with a bank robbery case. He ended up shot dead. And I remember this case that happened out here in the Chicago area, in the suburbs of Chicago. It covered towns such as Hanover Park, Hoffman Estates, Elk Grove Village, also covered Streamwood, Illinois. And I happened to be working in the district court then as a deputy clerk, and this is a story that happened. March 2nd, 1992, bloody ending in the double life of a bank robber in Illinois. And this is a story in regards to a gentleman that died. He was a police officer formerly. He worked for the police department in Hoffman Estates. He received several honors for working in the police department, but for some reason or other, he was fired. No reason why he was fired. He was fired and terminated and said that he doesn't know how to follow proceedings. So anyway, this gentleman opened a bookstore with his wife, and it was Jill, and his name was Jeffrey Erickson. And they worked the bookstore out of their area, and they lived in at the time, Hanover Park. They had a house there with their dog, Chaos. So anyway, during this time, there was a bearded gentleman going around robbing banks, and there was also a clown robbing banks. This was just on the heels after the banking collapse of the Savings and Loan Institute. Now, I had done stories on it and wrote stories about it because I felt very strongly that the failed Savings and Loan Institution and the amounts of money, because everything was totally up to at least $300, $400 billion each these places. Well, the thing is, I mean, the banks that got hit, that is, the thing is that the money had to be replaced. So the only way to replace the money was to go to the Federal Reserve. But this money was adding up to $4-something trillion. Now, the Federal Reserve didn't have that kind of money available in it. So the only other way that they could have gotten the money paid was to look at another venue, which, again, is insurance agencies. So now to get from taking the money from all these failed banks from the Federal Reserve and move it to something else, wouldn't that be equatable to think that maybe they would go into a scheme of robberies, have robbers come in, rob these banks, and get away with alleged money? Maybe they didn't even take the money, but just with the scenario and synopsis to make it look like a real bank robbery. So anyway, at this time, this was in 1992, series of bank robberies sprung up all over the place, going from the 80s up through around 95, constant robberies in Midwest area. This particular the gentleman I was talking about, the police officer, he and his wife were at home. They were chased by feds. There were black helicopters involved, by the way, because I've seen the black helicopters by my own eye during this time, scouting for them on various occasions when these bank robberies were going on. So anyway, the wife jumps in a van, and he jumps into another car, and there's a huge bale of bullets, a shootout, and the wife, who's driving the van, ends up in Streamwood in somebody's driveway, a hail of bullets, and then the helicopters land, and they find her shot dead twice, two bullets in her head, in the temple of her head, that is. But then when the story got out in the press, she committed suicide. I don't know too many people that can shoot themselves point blank in the head twice, you know, on a suicide note, and, you know, but that's what they claimed happened to her. The husband was taken to federal prison, but the only person that witnessed him happened to be a lady that wasn't quite sure what she saw. And that was the only thing that could have hung him. Anyway, this guy, when he ended up in the Dirksen Federal Building under lockup, he somehow got his handcuffs reversed the wrong way. Somehow a key got in his hand. He escaped, killed a Ricky marshal, ran out in the street. Another marshal shot at him. He laid on the ground, and he, too, pulled his gun out and shot himself and killed himself. Now, to me, I think he had a little bit too much information. That's why I think he ended up dead. And I think the same thing with his wife. Now, let's move the story to another level of bank robbery. Now, if you go to Oklahoma City, which our guest is going to talk about here, there was a number of banks tied into this thing that was tied into Aryan Nation and various other hate groups. Now, these hate groups were being funded by Bin Laden. And that's where the money was going with Bin Laden. Bin Laden didn't fund September 11th, except he did and was involved with the funding of these hate groups, which was the Aryan Nation and Ku Klux Klan and various other hate groups abroad to cause a helter-skelter thing, which was a part of this big umbrella of conspiracy against the people here in the United States. So anyway, I started looking into this, and I think the history of the banking, failed banking institutes, and the tie may be leading into what happened in Oklahoma City, but I'm not too sure. We're going to talk to our guest, John Gary Peeler. Now, John Gary Peeler happened to be a former BATF agent, worked with the CIA, and also worked with the FBI. He's been on my broadcast before. His son is being held in Arkansas prison right now for murder. There was no body, no corpse, no forensic evidence, no blood, no crime scene. He's in jail right now on a life sentence with no parole on something like that. And it's very easy to see that happened, because what they're trying to do is block Peeler from talking or doing anything by controlling his son in prison. Now, the former governor of Arkansas, he refused to look into this matter. And the person at Fox News, he wrote a story about this, Green Graham. He gets fired because of the fact he's coming out telling what was truth. There was something wrong with that case, and there was no reason his son should have been locked up. But then, where was John Gary Peeler? John Gary Peeler was involved and saw or had information about Waco, Ruby Ridge, Oklahoma City. He was undercover in the Ku Klux Klan then, and he knew that there was a possibility of something happening with the World Trade Center, and tried to warn everybody. Anyway, his warnings went nowhere. So anyway, I'm going to bring John Alstasis up first, and then I'm going to bring John Gary Peeler in, because we're going to talk about the banking robberies that were going on that were involved and equated into Oklahoma City. John, are you there?
Hi, Deanne, yes.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good, waiting for the big nor'easter to hit us. We're supposed to get 10 to 16 inches of wet, heavy snow.
I thought you were going to have a tsunami there.
No, never know.
Since it seems this weather seems to be kind of orchestrated, if you know what I mean. But I'm going to bring John up because I want to get him in here, because it's very important. That's kind of going over these factors of what is the internal working here of what happened in Oklahoma City. John Peeler, are you there?
Present and accounted for.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fine. God has blessed me pretty good, and I'm able to talk on your show and your listeners. Thanks be to God.
Well, your name is appearing on the internet a lot now, too.
Well, I wonder why, but let me tell you, every time I get to talk on your show, shortly thereafter, usually I get to talk to the FBI.
My show must be popular with them.
I'm real popular with them.
Hey, we'll be back after this break, and we'll be talking to John Gary Peeler when we return. Call us 800-313-9443.
Thank you. Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
And hey, we're with John Gary Peeler and John Alastafis, my calls on RBN. Callers, it's 800-313-9443. John, let me ask you a question here. Now, you said every time you come on my show, the FBI kind of like knocks at your door.
That is correct. But what happens, they... I told my wife, my current wife, I'm not bragging, I'm complaining, number five, I've been really hard on them, and I'm about to lose her, I'm afraid, because she can't hardly take it. But anyway, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and your listeners, and you try to get the truth out. And as a news person, you've got it figured out better than anybody I've ever met. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you the truth, because it's like a giant puzzle with really weird-shaped pieces, and they all fit together. And most people don't see the overall picture of this huge... This country was founded by people involved in a conspiracy, and it hasn't changed a whole lot, Deanne, as you well know, in some of the situations you've been in.
Uh-huh.
But every time I get to be on your show, usually I was telling my wife, current wife, that the FBI doesn't know where we live, and they don't care about me anymore, and I can talk on Deanne's show about that time. Here they come down the driveway. The antennas all over the car, and she said the people that don't know where we live are in the driveway, and I looked out the window, And she said, it's the FBI. She said, who is it? I said, well, it's the FBI. And she said, well, I have to go to the grocery store. I said, no, you don't. If you jump in the SUV and take off the grocery store, you're going to have 10-millimeter holes all over your body, and it won't look good on you.
God, that's bad.
And I'm, wives are getting harder for me to come by in my old age. So I said, please, please be still. So I went and met these guys at the door, and they introduced themselves. Bill Beersdorf was the main guy, and one of his cohorts. And anyway, he tries to look like one of the old policemen with a bald head, Tony Savalas or whatever his name was, Kojak. But anyway, he didn't have his lollipop, though, that day. But anyway, he was knocking on the door. I held my hands up and said, Me casa su casa, you know, you're welcome, come on in, and held my hands up, and they kind of felt at ease. And their three-piece suits, they kind of eased off on their automatic machine pistols. And anyway, they came through my door, and I introduced them to my current wife, and she was kind of big-eyed about then. I said, look, this is my wife now. And I said, you can take her down, you can put her in, you can waterboard her, you can put her in wet sheets all night long in an air-conditioned room, you can lay a phone book on her head and beat it with a hammer, but she's not going to tell you anything because she don't know anything. And about that time, her eyes were getting real big, Deanne.
Wow.
Her eyes were getting real big. And I said, she wants to be excused because I think you want to talk to me. And they said, yes, we do. And I said, okay. May she go to the grocery store? And they said, sure. And I told her to come back in an hour. And if I was not here, to call one of the lawyers as an acquaintance of the family. And she said she'd do that. And they told me that because I talked on your show and said some things, they needed to talk to me about it, you know. And I said, well, next week, well, Monday. And I said, I got some things I got to do. I need to go to the dentist. And they said, no, if you don't come, we're going to have to get a arrest warrant and arrest you and take you down.
Oh,
you know, I'm going to have to change my dental appointment, I think. My teeth are feeling better already. I think I'm going to change that appointment. So anyway, I told them I'd be glad to come down, and they gave me an engraved invitation. This, the FBI office off of Shackelford, Little Rock, was built after the 911 thing, and they have armed security guards in the parking lot. You have to have the engraved invitation to get in the parking lot. Once you get in the parking lot, you go to the building, and then once you get to the building, you show your picture, driver's license or military ID. Then they take a photograph of you. They send the photograph to Washington, D.C., and get approval before they let you come into the building. You're in the outer foyer, and they have to get approval from the office in Washington before you go into the building. They put an electronic tag on you that follows you all around the building, and all the cameras zoom in on you all the way around the building. They took me down in the basement in their special isolation room, interrogation room. Yeah, and well, you know, I got to meet a lot of guys I hadn't seen in a while. You know, it don't bother me a bit. And you know, Martha Stewart, they put her in prison for lying to FBI agents. And I told them, sure, I'll be glad to take these polygraph tests. And they asked me all these questions about Waco and Oklahoma and the World Trade Center and my involvement in all these deals and stuff. I said, sure, I'll be glad to tell you all about it. And some of the younger agents that were in on the conversation to listen were crying about the deal because they were fresh out of college, and they hadn't been seasoned into all this stuff and didn't know all the government involvements and all the things that happened, you know, because they weren't part of the inner circle. You know, there are circles within the circles within the circles and so forth, and you know better than most what's happening. But, you know, when a person gets to know too much, like you were talking about Agent Bush, I didn't know him personally that well. I'd run into him a couple of times because he did deals in Arkansas. He was real familiar. I can't say for a fact that's what happened, but he knew a whole lot about William Jefferson Bly, also known as William Jefferson Clinton, and the family, and was involved in part of the Watergate investigations and everything else. If you can find out some of the investigations he was involved in, he knew way too much about the Clintons. But, you know, my friend, if you get on...
Oh, we're going to break, and we'll be right back. And don't forget any of these points, because this is a good area we want to cover here. And, folks, we'll be right back after this break on RBN, The Ann Burley Show.
Yeah. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Zionist plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is a Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
And we're live, and it's Deanne on Late Night with Deanne on RBN. And folks, you want to call in, it's 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. I'm with my co-host, John Alastasis, and I'm also with my friend out there, John Gary Peeler, a very brave man, a man that worked for the BATF, FBI, and CIA undercover. He went in into Oklahoma, and he was undercover through the Knights of the I'm sorry, he'll tell you what it is. It's called the Ku Klux Klan, KKK. He went undercover, and he also knew Timothy McVeigh during his undercover work during and just before the situation with the bombing in Oklahoma City. Now, John, you were saying now they came and got you. What did they ask you? What were they looking for, FBI?
Okay, I'd made statements on your show about the Oklahoma bombing, World Trade Center in Waco, and they wanted to, you know, Martha Stewart, they got her for lying to FBI agents, and they wanted me to say the same things I said on your show and play the tapes of your show and stuff
uh-huh.
and to get me to lie for a federal officer. You know what I'm saying. But
yeah.
Everything I said was the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God, and I was telling the truth, so they did the interview from me. I've got there were a few trick questions they tried on me and so forth. You know, these guys are pretty sharp, you know. I mean, they had a guy flown in from Washington, D.C., one of the head polygraph guys, and the FBI puts a lot of stock in polygraph things and stuff. I don't, but I'm saying they asked me if I took a course on the Internet out of cheap polygraphs, and I told them I didn't even have the Internet, didn't even want the Internet. If I had the Internet, I said, I'm sure your guys would load it up with child porn.
Porn.
You'd have,
like
me, in you'd have me in jail for porn and chicken or something, you know.
Porn and chicken.
But the deal is, you know, they have a sense of humor about it and so forth. But, I mean, you know, they everything's on their side, hun. And I got to meet a lot of the people that I used to work with and so forth. It was like old home week with some of the guys and stuff. And some of the guys don't resent me. And there are people that, you know, like when I went to the Arkansas State Capitol about a month ago, I started to walk through the metal detector, and the guard there told me that would be unnecessary because if I wanted to bring a bomb in, I would, and he couldn't stop me. So he said he didn't care whether I walked through the metal detector or not. I didn't have to. He knew me anyway. So I just walked on in there and talked to the governor and stuff, you know. But I'm saying the guys have, some of them have a pretty good sense of humor about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the security guard there, he's a state trooper that I didn't recognize. I said, man, he was really a big guy, you know, and he had the military haircut, high and tight. And I asked him if he was in the United States Marine, who had been in the United States Marine Corps. He said, no, he was too big, man. He was just a monster, you know, their security guard. But they've got a good sense of humor. And you know, things can be stopped. A few years ago, there was an Iman here in Little Rock. He's out of prison now. I helped put him in federal prison. I think he know, figure that out now. Iman Jamil Amin Al-Faras, the head of the one of the mosques in Little Rock, he was planning on flying an airplane to the Arkansas State Capitol. He was also planning on kidnapping and torturing Bush's two daughters, and when I found out about this, I turned him in for it, but I found out he was working undercover as an informant for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So, I mean, you know, they don't want to arrest their own and so forth, so they weren't doing nothing to him. So then when I found out he was still wanting to get the airplane to fly into the Arkansas State Capitol, I got some distant relatives that work there, so I went and talked to Daryl S. Head, and the head of the State Capitol Security there. He's at area 501-682-5173. And Daryl Hedden, I told him what was going to happen. So he went down to the mosque and arrest Greg Holt is his state's name, and Iman Jamil Amin Al-Faras. He arrested him, and on the way to jail with another state trooper, he threatened to kill both of them. So they put him in federal prison for a while. That's a couple of years ago. He's out now. And he's tried to get in contact with me a couple of times, but I'm not real wild about getting in contact and meeting with him, you know. But I'm afraid,
I wonder why.
Well, you know, ever since I've been on your show, my wife was not real wild about it, but I just told her, you know, take out all my brother told her the best investment you can make is take out all the life insurance you can take on him, let him talk on any show he wants to talk on, you know, and tell whatever's happening. So that's exactly where we're at now. And I've tried to get right with God and with your help, and I go to church every time the doors are open and pray a whole lot, and I pray for you, too. I'm proud that you and your show are doing so well.
Well, the thing is that, you know, thank you for that. And the thing is that, you know, people need to know what's going on because, see, tax dollars are going to this.
Oh,
you know,
correct.
These efforts. And the thing is that, you know, again, you know, you think about all these people that are dead, and from these buildings and these, let's say collateral damage incidents. And, you know, even agents are getting killed.
You're exactly right.
And there's absolutely no protection. And it's like they don't care. You know, they just do whatever it takes to get whatever they want done. And they don't care who, what, or where. They'll have somebody work on something and tell them it's a whole situation of basically of saving people, protecting them from some horrible nightmare or something. And the agents are roofed. They're lied to. And they go out and they perpetrate these things thinking that they're doing something for the government and the safety of the United States. And they're lied to.
Well, you're
and the
exactly
thing is,
right.
They don't even realize it until they already did
right.
it, and
after,
then they're
after
already
the fact, yeah. David Koresh, Vernon Wayne Howe, they had me convinced that he was evil incarnate, and then after they murdered him, they didn't. You know, I volunteered to go down there and personally shoot him myself after they showed me all of these, children and said he was molesting them and all this stuff, and they never proved. And, you know, the ATF is not in charge of child molestation, last I heard, but they said they were doing this deal special for these people and so forth. And I found out later, after the fact, that he had been investigated by social service and everything else, and he was not involved in child molestation. And the thing, what happened, if you've seen the footage of it about Waco and so forth, I've seen different footage from two different angles that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and took the thing. And what happened, okay, if you see the people go up the ladders and so forth, there's three agents that go up the ladder on the right-hand side. Okay, there's two agents that go in the room, and the two agents that go in the room, another agent with an Heckler & Koch submachine gun, he throws hand grenades in the room, smoke grenades in the room after they go into the room that's allegedly a firearm room, but it's really a child's bedroom upstairs. But they go into the alleged firearm room through the window. When they go in, the other agent stays outside and gets his HK submachine gun and loads them up from behind and throws a smoke grenade in, and then another grenade. I don't know whether it was a regular grenade or a smoke grenade or what the second one was. I wasn't sure from the footage. But anyway, then he empties his machine gun into the backs of the two agents in the room, and meanwhile, they return fire, and you see the rounds, the bullets coming through the side of the building coming out at him, and he's wounded and goes and slides down the ladder. But I'm saying, these two agents I found out, I won't say their names because you can figure it out anyway, but they were decent guys. But what happened, they didn't have enough agents to guard William Jefferson Bly, also known as William Jefferson Clinton. So these guys with a BATF had volunteered to guard Clinton when he was in Arkansas, when he didn't have enough coverage, because there's a lot of people here that want to kill him, because he did a lot of evil things in Arkansas to different people. So anyway, they had volunteered and guarded him and helped save his life a couple of times, and then as a reward for that, they get murdered at Waco. They were basically murdered. Kathy Ferguson, a good friend of mine, Danny Ferguson's estranged wife, wasn't into firearms, was a fundamentalist Christian, went to church every time the doors opened. She was a nurse working as a receptionist at a hospital, never was into firearms. She asked me what to get. I told her to go to a store and get some bear mace with red dye in it. That's what she went and got. And they didn't find the bear mace, but she allegedly had a firearm. She was right-handed and had been a beauty contest winner and a model when she was younger. And Danny Ferguson's a strange wife, you know, troop brigade. He was talking about procuring women for Clinton and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, she shot herself in the back left-hand side of the head. I was basically arrested for her murder because I was a FOB, a friend of Bill at the time. They had me to go down to the Secret Service headquarters in the Stevens building, and basically they had me under investigation for murder because they said I had murdered her because I was a friend of Bill. And I told him, no, I didn't do it, because if I had done it, she's right-handed. I wouldn't have shot her on the left-hand side of the head, and she would have died of a pill damage. She wouldn't have died of a gunshot wound, a woman that was a beauty contest winner and real vain about herself. So anyway, Danny Ferguson decided he didn't know anything about Trooper Gate, and he wanted to stay with the state troopers. And last I heard, they sent him up in northern Arkansas and had him sitting all day guarding a tree in near a national forest. Up there.
A tree?
Yeah, because they didn't want him talking to anybody. He wanted to retire from the state troopers, and he didn't want anything to do with anything anymore because he knew his number was up if he started talking anymore. So you won't be able to get in contact with him because he's not talking. And the reason I am talking is because if I wasn't talking, they'd blow me away in a minute.
That's what they do.
Kathy Ferguson, I told her to write all this stuff down, make tapes, leave them at everybody she knows and stuff, and she did not do that.
It's just like what happened to this gentleman that got killed out there in New York. That was
Am I not mistaken
that the FBI usually provides protective vests, you know, in cases of bank robberies to the agents, and this guy kind of didn't have one on, and somebody shot him from like 15 feet away,
Friendly
fire.
You can get in trouble for not wearing a vest when you're on duty, when you were federal agencies and so forth, unless you're in some special. I was in special undercover operations a large amount of time where I was not allowed to wear a vest because if I was wearing a vest, they would think I was a cop. But to my knowledge at the time, this guy was not in any special undercover operations and so forth. His main problem in life was he knew way too much about the Clinton family. And right now, with Hillary wanting to be president real badly and wanting to make her husband the czar of the world or whatever she wants to make him, you know, it's a bad time to know too much about the Clintons right now.
Well, the thing is, this is another thing that's kind of odd about this stuff with this bank robbery in New York. Now, I haven't checked in the bank robbery itself, but this gentleman, you know, the way he got killed, and then, like I said, in 1992, the man that was working as a Hoffman Estates police officer, and he got hailed. He had, like, three citations saying he did a good job. All of a sudden, he gets fired, and then he opens up a bookstore, and his brother owned a gun shop in a suburb out here, and it was alleged that a gun shop in that area was operated by somebody that was in the Senate. And the gun shop was tied to involving with guns being sold into this operation you're talking about in Oklahoma City to the Aryan Nation and to the Ku Klux Klan in order to, you know, funnel money through bank robbery to, you know, fund this terrorist outbreak that they've been doing with Oklahoma City and the World Trade Center. Did you know about the Midwest bank robberies that were going on?
There was one guy involved in there with the Aryan Nation, and I think his real name was David Paul Hammer. And I think he's still in prison, and I think he's in federal prison over, you know, I think he's still in federal prison, but I don't know. It might be out of Oklahoma, but I'm not sure. El Reno, but I'm not sure which one. But last I heard, he was still in prison. Now, they were going to get him personally to talk about Tim Tuttle, also known as Timothy James McVeigh, and Terry Lynn Nichols. But like you said about Terry Lynn Nichols, one of the things he was doing, he was going down to the Philippines, meeting and training with real Muslim terrorists, the real people, not the ones that the feds claim are Muslim terrorists, the real Muslim terrorists. He was taking $1 Federal Reserve notes down there. He was bleaching them out, reprinting them as $100 bills, and bringing them back. And he brought a Filipino wife back with him just to prove that he had a reason why he was going down there to the Philippines and so forth. I don't know whether he's still married to her or not, but anyway, he knew a whole lot about the deal. He was more involved in the Oklahoma bombing than Tim McVeigh was, but Tim McVeigh was undercover for the feds all the time. He was a Catholic. Can you be a Catholic and be a member of the Ku Klux Klan, Deanne?
No.
No, you can't. And everybody knew he was a Catholic. He was proud of being a Catholic.
You can't be in any Masonic order and be a Catholic. You have to, if you're in a Masonic order, you have to be in an alternate religious group, but you cannot be a Catholic.
You see, just many, many people know that, including you, obviously, and your listeners and so forth. But anyway, he is a Catholic. He's proud of being a Catholic. He didn't know you couldn't, he didn't know enough about the Klan to know you couldn't be a Catholic and be a member of the Klan. He was in Desert Storm 1. He came back and was going to Ranger training. He flunked out of Ranger training because they gave him boots that were brand-new boots. He got huge blisters on his feet, flunked out. They made him flunk out. They used Operation MK Ultra on him, the Manchurian Candidate type thing, and made him into the perfect assassin because he thought he was working undercover for the government. He didn't know that he was being the patsy for the undercover operations and so forth. But like I told you before, I think, you know, we had a guy named Mike Esch who was going to be the patsy for the Oklahoma bombing. But see, they swore, I'm going to make it clear to your listeners, they lied to me many times. And, you know, I'm tired of them lying to me. They finally fired me. But anyway, they lied to me many times, and they told me that we're going to get all the way up to the Oklahoma bombing, and then we're going to stop it. But the main reason the Murrah Federal Building went, the Whitewater tapes and diaries, all the dirt on Bill and Hillary Rodham Clinton was stored in that building. And that's the main reason the building's not there. They couldn't wait to bulldoze it. They had so many munitions and bombs and incendiary devices and things stored in that building. that the explosive train, when you look at the seismograph reading, you see the Ryder truck going off. But when the Ryder truck goes off, the secondary explosion is much larger, and it craters the building. And anybody that's into explosive ordnance and demolition can look at the seismograph reading and see that the bombs in the building cratered the building, not the Ryder truck sitting out past the sidewalk and out in the street.
Well, this is another question I have, too. There was a gentleman by the name of Moore that had a lot of money that was tied to Oklahoma City. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Sure do. Okay. There was a guy that lived on the other outside of Hot Springs near the Mount Ida area. And what happened, he had a huge gun collection, a collection of jade, and a collection of gold coins and gold bars and silver coins. Okay, he had all the survivalist stuff. And at that time, gold had actually gone down a little bit. And you couldn't sell jade in Arkansas if you wanted to.
Well, we're going to break, and we'll be right back. And with John Peeler, we got John Alastasis. I'm going to ask him if he's got some questions. Callers, you have questions here, call 800-313-9443. We'll be right back after the station break.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
All Hi, we're back. It's Late Night with Deanne. Caller is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. And I'm with my special guest here, John Gary Peeler, formerly with FBI, CIA, BATF, undercover, with the Knights of Columbus, Knights of the Invisible Empire, which is Ku Klux Klan. He was involved with investigating the Oklahoma City bombing before it would happen, tried to stop it, and this is what mess he got into, trusting our government. John, now let me ask you question.
Let me finish that one. Mr. Moore,
sure.
It was insurance fraud, but he claimed that Terry Lynn Nichols had armed robbing, but it was just a blatant case of insurance fraud on his gun collection and jade and gold collection is what happened to him, but it was part of the funding for the Oklahoma bombing.
So he was funding the Oklahoma bombing, but what's he with, the Aryan Nation, or what was he with?
He was with the Klan, Invisible Empire, the Knights of Ku Klux Klan. I finally, after hanging out with him at gun shows and different places for many years, I was finally allowed to join at 9:02 a.m., April the 19th, 1990, and my number that I chose was 009500. You know, I might as well say that, you know, I was helping to plan the Oklahoma bombing under the condition that it get up to the rim and not happen, is what I was told by the federal agents of the Secret Service and FBI. I was told that it would not happen. It would not take place. But they had to have actual evidence to arrest all these people involved in this sting operation.
Now, how about Randy Youssef? Did you ever come in contact with him? Because he was involved with both Oklahoma City and the
World
Trade
Center. I didn't involve with him personally, but when I met with Muslim personnel and so forth, which I met a lot of them, very few of them I got to know their real names. We were told by the Klan leaders and so forth that these people wanted to be in different cells and so forth and didn't want to identify it. So we were told anytime we run into a Muslim guy, we were told to call him Mohammed. So we called him Mohammed. And one of the guys went by the name Mohammed Atta. I don't know whether it was the Mohammed Atta or not, but one of the guys went by the name Mohammed Atta. But they went by
most likely.
Huh?
Most likely it's the same one that called my office down here.
Right. But anyway, these Muslim guys hung around the federal building, the Murrah Federal Building. In fact, they say on the day I was told by federal agents that they saved the parking place. It's hard to get a parking place at that 9:02 a.m. in the morning. So they saved the parking place for the rider truck, or it wouldn't have had a parking place at that time in the morning. There were two guys with blue jumpsuits on that saved the parking place. And, you know, there have been people that allegedly committed suicide. There were some of the police officers that were involved in the investigation and so forth. And after the bombing happened, they said there were so much unexploded bombs and munitions around, they quarantined the place, roped it off, wouldn't let anybody in near the area and so forth, even to rescue survivors and so forth. And I've had some of the people that were involved in the Oklahoma tragedy, some of the victims, actually come to my home and talk to me about it. And they were going to have me go to Oklahoma and do some depositions and so forth, but I didn't get a chance to.
Oh, we're going to another break. We'll be back. Again, callers, 800-313-9443, and we're going to be back to the next beginning of the first hour, second hour. Be right back.
It's true.